Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. Hospice of Texarkana will soon hold its 23rd annual Good Grief Day, an event especially for children experiencing grief because of the death or absence of a loved one. I spoke with Director of Psychosocial Services, Amy Mohan, about the differences between adult and child grief and how best to help a child who's suffered a loss. We also talked about hospice care in general and why she chooses to work in the field. Links to details about Good Grief Day and other grief support services are in the show notes. Here's my conversation with Amy Mohan. Joining me in the studio is Amy Mohan, Director of Psychosocial Services at Hospice of Texarkana. Hi, Amy.
Hi there.
So we're here to talk mainly about the Good Grief Day event that you guys have coming up on July 14th. And it's an event about helping children with grief. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Sure. You know, when you think of grief, a lot of the time the first thing we think about is if somebody's passed away that they love.
Uh-huh.
But really with kids and with adults too. But for our event, grief really encompasses so many more things than just the passing away of a loved one.
Okay.
It could be maybe their parents divorced. Maybe they moved from somewhere that they were very familiar with to a place they're not familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it just has to do with deployment of a loved one, even incarceration of a loved one.
Right.
You know, anything that they consider a loss and that they're grieving.
So what sort of activities do you guys do? This is the 23rd annual Good Grief Day.
We have been doing it a while.
I have to admit, this is the first I've heard of it.
So, oh, is it?
Yeah, I appreciated you guys reaching out to me about this.
Well, we sure appreciate you letting us get the word out.
Sure. It's something that touches a lot of people, I'm sure.
It really does. We'll do different experiential activities, really. Mm-hmm. It's not so much like you think about going to see a counselor or a therapist and you sit down and the person says, okay, tell me about your childhood.
Right.
You know, it's more like we do an art activity with canvas and pens and we do a balloon release. That's always the last event we do is a balloon release where the kids can all have a little piece of paper and they write something on it, or they draw a picture, just whatever expresses what they're feeling.
Right.
We attach that to a helium balloon, and we go outside, and we all stand in a circle, and they all release that balloon at the same time. And I'm telling you, it is really powerful. Those kids, you know how when a balloon goes up in the air, you can see just a little speck of color before you can't see anything? They watch it until that speck of color is absolutely gone. And they're like, oh, there's mine. And, you know, it's really cool. It means something to them.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really cathartic. That's what it sounds
like. It is. You know, symbolically letting go of those feelings or what they've drawn or what they've written on the piece of paper.
Mm-hmm.
Or a lot of them use it as like sending a message, symbolically sending a message to heaven, that sort of thing. So they love it. They love that.
Yeah.
They really do. And so do we. I mean, we stand out there and take pictures and watch their faces and they just point up at the sky. It's cool.
We should mention the age range. What is it, 7 to 15? Is
that about.
Right? Yeah.
You know, school age children is pretty much what we say if they're used to being in a group setting.
Okay.
We are there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. So we're there a long time.
Yeah.
So we want them to be able to concentrate and, you know, pretty much focus for that long.
Yeah.
We do have a lunch break. Lost Pizza Company is donating pizza for this event.
Okay.
So that's a draw right there.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, come on. So I know the kids will love having a really good, yummy lunch.
Yeah. What is different about grief in children as opposed to adults? How do you have to approach it differently?
with children, a lot of the time they blame themselves. You know, they think, well, let me back up a little bit. You know, children are more self-centered beings than adults usually.
Yeah.
You know, everything kind of does revolve around them until they reach a certain age.
Right.
And that's developmental. That's emotionally developmental. That's normal. So it just kind of makes sense that they'll blame themselves. You know, if I had just been better behaved, if I had made better grades at school, my parents would have never divorced. You know, if I even had a child one time say they left their grandmother's home and they said bye instead of something like see you later.
Then
she passed away.
Yeah.
You know, so that child was like, man, why didn't I say see you later instead of bye? You know, little things like that we would never think of.
Right.
That we would never think of with our developed brains. We wouldn't think it, but little children, they really do.
Yeah.
And it also instills a lot of fear. Mm. Say a child's father passed away.
Mm-hmm.
They're scared to death that their mother's going to pass away too, and they're going to be left with nobody taking care of them.
Right.
You know, they have a lot of fear, mm-hmm. and they take a lot of self-blame.
So how do you approach those things and help them with them?
Well, first off, what we do is we meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
If a child is coming to us with a lot of self-blame, we really talk to them about how they're not powerful enough to make that happen, to make these things happen, and try to break it down to their terms, something
right.
that they will understand. And we just kind of talk to them about not only the thinking part, but the feeling part, and just talk about the power and control that we have in our lives and the power and control we don't have in our lives.
Right, right.
Focus on
what they can control and what they can't control.
Exactly, and reality. And we also focus on, you know, sometimes these kinds of things just happen. It stinks. We don't like it. Nobody likes it. It's not fair.
Right.
But we don't have control over it. It's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and that they didn't do anything to cause it. And they couldn't have done anything to stop it either.
Yeah. Aside from this annual event, do you work with children in your normal sort of everyday work in hospice?
We sure do. We've got a great counselor named Rick Hunsey, and he's just really good with kids.
Yeah.
Whenever we have a family that's got little children, a lot of the time the family will accept for Rick to talk to them. We've got a really cool coloring book at Hospice of Texarkana that is for our current patients and their families, because that's what the book focuses on.
Right.
It's broken down to, I would say, 12 or 13 or younger.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a coloring book that just explains about all the different people that are going to be coming into the home, like the nurse, the home health aide, chaplains, social workers, counselors, all of these people that will be coming into the home. And because that's a big change.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when you've got all these people coming in and out of your home, kids can be like, what the heck?
And that can be scary in itself, I'm sure.
Yes, it can. It can. So this tries to make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it at least provides a jumping off point for conversation.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about a little dog that's the grandmother and then the, you know, the little dogs. You know, it's all animals. And
right, right.
Based on children's.
What are some, I'm sure that people are all very well intentioned, but what are some mistakes people might make in dealing with grieving children?
You know, sometimes people will say things, and just like you said, they're trying to help, they're trying to provide comfort, that sort of thing. And sometimes people will say, well, she's just sleeping. Well, she's not just sleeping.
Right,
she's not
right.
going to wake up, you know.
Yeah.
They'll say that sort of thing. Or they'll say, well, Jesus needed another angel. And your grandmother was the best. She was just such a sweet, great lady. Jesus needed her more than we did.
Right.
Up in heaven.
Yeah.
You know, they'll say those sorts of things. And they'll say, you know, even kids, people have even said things like, well, you're going to have to step up now. You're going to have to really help around the house more. You're going to be like you know, the little daddy or the little mama or this sort of thing. You're just going to help. You're going to have to step up and
just
take care of things.
Yeah, put that pressure on
it. Oh, yes. Golly. I mean, that's hard enough for us as adults. You know, then think about a little child thinking, okay, well, I've got my, you know, seventh grade schoolwork to do. I was, you know, kind of hoping to play maybe on the basketball team.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, I got to be the little daddy around here. I got to, like, take care of chores and, you know, extra stuff.
Right.
That kind of thing is tough.
What instead do you think should adults do to help kids?
I think it's helpful, kind of like I said earlier, to start where they are.
Mm-hmm.
I always think it's a good idea to say, I don't know how you're feeling. You know, this, you've lost your mother, and I don't know how you're feeling, but I'm here for you. Yeah. If you need to talk, you can say anything you want to me. I'm a safe place. I'm not going to judge you. And you might have something to say that you think sounds crazy, but guess what? We all have thoughts like that.
Yeah.
So I'm a safe place. You can say these things to me. I think another thing that's kind of cool is, well, and I'm talking about Hospice of Texarkana from our standpoint, is to say, you know, I didn't know your father. I just met him when he was sick and he was not feeling good. Yeah. Tell me about him.
Yeah.
Tell me what he was like.
That's something I think would work for anybody grieving is, you know, invite them to remember that person and what were the best things about them and so forth.
Absolutely. And what were the worst things?
Yeah.
You know, and tell me about some fun things you did together, you know, that kind of thing. So I think encouraging them to reminisce, and also I think it's important to help them identify people in their lives at this point who are supportive.
Yeah.
You know, to say, who's somebody else you can talk to about these things? Who else gives you a feeling of security? Who else lifts you up on a daily basis?
Right.
You know, because you've lost that. And, you know, just helping them to identify and remembering that nobody replaces anybody, period.
Yeah,
and that goes for adults, too.
Sure.
Nobody replaces anybody, but just to kind of help them identify strengths and other people who can help to support them emotionally and spiritually.
Yeah. Hey, everyone. I want you to know how proud I am to welcome Hostetler Roofing as a sponsorship partner. I had the pleasure to meet with some of Hostetler's staff, and I could tell they really mean it when they say they're all about honesty, integrity, and accountability. They get it that contractors don't have the best reputation, and they want to change people's minds about that by setting an example. Everything Hostetler Roofing does is about taking care of customers. Whether it's a commercial or residential job, maintenance, repair, or a whole new roof. That's why they offer 5- and 10-year workmanship warranties on everything they do. Hostetler has a huge variety of roofing styles and materials available, and they're happy to help you with options to pay for their work, from affordable financing to applying for government grants. It all starts with a free inspection. Just call and ask, and before you know it, you'll get the best advice out there about your roof. Visit HostetlerRoofing.com or call 870-557-4797 to get started. And please mention you heard about them here. How do you help kids who are so young they may not even understand what death is?
That's tough. There are some really good play therapists in town. And if they're that young, sometimes play therapy is about the best thing that we can do is refer them to a play therapist.
And remind people what play therapy is.
Okay, sure. Play therapy is, again, meeting the child where they are. The play therapist will have different toys in an office, and the children will gravitate towards the ones that they need, that they need to do to play with, to try to heal something in themselves.
Right.
You might see aggressive play. You know, you might see them pick up a stuffed animal and just bang it on the ground or hit it or this sort of thing, where you see some anger. You might see people pick up a stuffed animal and hug it and nurture it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the time that's meaning that, you know, they're wanting that for themselves.
Right.
And
so it's just a way for kids to express themselves.
It is.
They might not have the
words. It is. And like you said, those children who are so young, who don't have those verbal expressive abilities like an adult does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What support is available for adults who are grieving here in Texarkana? I feel like we should mention that too while we're on the subject.
Sure. We offer several support groups at Hospice of Texarkana. They're all free of charge. We've tried to offer them at different times throughout the week in case people have a tricky work schedule or school schedule.
Mm-hmm.
But we have one that meets on Saturday mornings at 10:45. We have one that meets, and that one is held at our office. We have one that meets every Thursday morning, and that one is held at Central Mall.
Okay.
And that one is more of a social gathering.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely something about grief will come up. Yeah. Often, and we never shy away from it. We'll talk about it for sure. But somebody brings donuts and people bring their coffee. And, and you know, a lot of the time, if somebody loses a partner as an adult, that was kind of their social, their social outlet. So there's a lot of value in that group as well.
Just giving people some company, it sounds like.
Yes. That one on Thursday morning, a lot of the time that it does kind of focus on that.
Yeah.
We've got another group on Thursday afternoons that is only for widowers. It's just for men whose wives have passed away.
Yeah.
So they've, that's a good, my dad actually goes to that group and he really likes it. He really likes it.
I would imagine there are some generational differences here, aren't there? People who maybe of the baby boomer generation may have a little bit more trouble expressing themselves. I'm thinking about men especially.
Yeah. Yes. A lot of the time when we approach the subject with men, that especially older men, they, oh, no, I don't need that. I'm fine. I got this.
Yeah.
You know, that sort of thing. But if they, usually if they come, especially to that widowers group, because it's all men, so they don't have to feel like they're different.
Right.
Because every man in there is there because they need a little support.
Yeah. How did you get into this work? How did you get into hospice and grief work?
Oh, my. Well, I started working at Hospice of Texarkana in 1994.
Okay.
So I've been there a while.
Yeah.
And I really just kind of lucked into it, to be honest. I love it. Obviously, I've been there so long.
Yeah.
I love it. But there was an opening for a contract social worker because we were small at that point.
We should mention you're a licensed clinical social worker.
I am. Yeah. Yes, I am. And so I started with a contract with them and just saw how much I love it and just stuck with it. And Hospice of Texarkana is also really good about providing continuing ed, that sort of thing. So I've been blessed enough to attend some conferences in person and some online, especially since COVID, they're more online than in person. But just to further my education about grief.
Yeah. What are the rewards? Why do you like it so much?
Well,
you weren't expecting personal questions.
No, that's okay. One reason I love it so much is because of what I get to see on a day-to-day basis. I get to see love in action.
Yeah.
I know it sounds corny. It sounds corny, but it's true.
Yeah.
You'll see an ex-wife taking care of her ex-husband because there's nobody else to do it.
That happened with my parents.
Did it? Okay. Yeah. There you go. And a lot of the time, that's kind of to help the kids because the kids are not to retirement age and they have to work. So the divorced parent will be like, I'll help you.
Yeah.
And they come in. And you'll see people move from Delaware, quit their job, put their life on hold to take care of their loved one because there's not another option.
Right.
Not everybody can afford to hire a sitter in the home. Not everybody can afford to pay for a nursing home, and not everybody qualifies for Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the family members just want to be the one to do it.
Yeah.
But that's a big thing for me, mm-hmm. that I get to see these people just putting their lives on hold and just acting so lovingly. And so just people will, is it called bury the hatchet?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see that a lot too. People who have had major conflicts with people will say, okay, that's going on the back burner right now. He needs me to take care of him, and I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
I've observed that a death can bring out the best in people, and it can bring out the worst in people. But,
you know,
you got to think about the former more, I think.
You do. Yeah. And usually what we see is that whatever it has been, like whoever you are, whoever mm-hmm. I am, whoever these caregivers are, whoever the patients are, is highlighted.
Right.
It just kind of goes up to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was talking about all those family members like your parents who mm-hmm. who will come together and do what they need to do.
Yeah.
Well, we also have the ones that won't.
Right.
You know, we'll have a patient who's bedbound and home alone. Nobody's there with them.
Mm.
And as a social worker, we certainly get involved in situations like that
yeah.
to counsel them and encourage them and educate them about what's needed. The patient's needs are not being met.
Yeah.
And, you know, we meet with them several times, and then if it just continues the way it was going, we end up having no choice but to make an adult protective services report sometimes.
Right.
Rarely, but sometimes.
If it's not personal, how do you take care of yourself? How do you make sure this doesn't really get under your skin too much?
Oh, well, I love to do things. I love to cook,
mm-hmm.
and I do that just about every weekend. I love to meal prep and that
yeah.
sort of thing. So I do that. I love to be with my family,
mm-hmm.
you know, my children, my husband, my dad. My dad lives with us.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so I help take care of him, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all a balance. It's a balance.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, just honestly, some of them hit you harder than other ones.
Yeah, sure.
There might be a patient that reminds me of my mom.
Right.
Or my grandmother. Those kinds of things. You know, if something, it can be any of the senses. Maybe their hairstyle looks like a loved one that's already passed away.
Right.
Or maybe they wear the same perfume that a loved one wore.
Yeah.
I even walked into a home one time, and it smelled like my grandmother's house, who lived
wow.
in Missouri.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, I still don't know what it was. It smells good.
Yeah.
But there was that same scent there. And I'm telling you, it just brings you right back. It does.
Yeah.
So when those kinds of things happen, you do have to acknowledge it.
Right.
And think, okay, this is going on. And certainly take time to remember, walk down memory lane. And like I said, I do like to spend time with my family and friends and that sort of thing.
Tell me a little bit about hospice care generally, and for people who might not be familiar with what a hospice is.
Sure. Hospice is designed to take care of terminally ill patients with a prognosis of about 6 months or less mm-hmm. who have reached the point in their treatments and in their disease process that they say, I just really want to be kept comfortable. I don't want to do chemo anymore. I don't want to do radiation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want these infusions. I really just want to be kept comfortable. And usually that is spurred on from a doctor that says,
yeah.
you know what, I'm so sorry to say this, but I think we've really done everything we can do
yeah.
medically for a cure.
Right.
At this point, we probably need to change gears and keep you comfortable.
Mm.
So the doctor or that patient contacts our office. We go out and do an evaluation and look over medical records and make sure they're appropriate, that they meet eligibility criteria.
Yeah.
After a patient is admitted, they get skilled nursing care in the home, a home health aide who comes in, a hospice aide, to help with personal care like bathing and mm-hmm. grooming. They can, you know, change the sheets on their bed, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Social workers, counselors, chaplains. all of their medications are provided. I guess I should say virtually all their medications, because every once in a while there is one that isn't provided. But virtually all their medications are provided. Their supplies are provided by hospice care, as well as their durable medical equipment, like hospital bed, oxygen, over-the-bed table, wheelchair, walker, any, you know, nebulizer, any of these things that are needed. Medicare, Medicaid, and private insurances have what they call a hospice benefit.
Right.
And we manage that benefit. It's a daily rate that we get paid, and everything comes out of that daily rate, all of that care that's needed in the home.
Yeah, my mother had hospice care at the end of her life. And
did we take care of her?
No, this was in Atlanta.
Texas. Oh, gotcha. Oh, in Atlanta. We go to Atlanta.
Honestly, I can't remember the name of the organization.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I was just curious. Yeah.
But anyway, it was a godsend. You guys do the Lord's work for sure.
Well, I think we certainly believe it's a ministry.
Yeah.
We certainly do. I mean, how could you deal with end of life and it not be a ministry?
Yeah.
You know, one thing I didn't mention is we also have our inpatient unit.
Okay.
Which is very valuable. We've got, we're a freestanding hospice, and we do have the 12-bed inpatient unit. It's used for two different reasons. One, if a patient is having a symptom at home that we can't get on top of at home, they'll come into our inpatient unit and we'll administer IV meds or whatever's needed. Mm. Or the other reason is for respite care. Respite care is really designed for the family.
Right.
Let's say the family all has a graduation to go attend out of town. Mm-hmm. Or let's say the primary caregiver comes down with strep throat. You know,
they're just burned out.
I was about to say, or they're just tired.
Yeah.
They just want a break.
Yeah.
Then they'll come in for that. Now, that's for 5 midnights.
Okay.
And our patients, when they're on the inpatient unit, they're spoiled. Our nurses are experts. And I'm telling you, they're awesome.
Yeah.
They're awesome. So it's a very comprehensive care plan.
So back to the Good Grief Day.
Okay.
Tell us some of the details. It's going to be, like we said, July 14th.
It's at Landmark Pentecostal Church, which used to be Church on the Rock, there at I-30 and Summerhill.
Summerhill, right.
Yeah. And we'll be in that building to the left. It's the powerhouse. They call it the powerhouse. And that's a perfect place for us to meet and do everything we need to do. And it's going to be, you know, lunch will be provided. It's from 10 to 2. Lost Pizza Company is going to provide some delicious pizza for us. Donation. You know, they're donating that. And we'll do activities throughout the day.
Do people need to register or let you know they're coming?
They do.
Okay.
They need to call 903-794-4263.
Okay.
Rick is taking down those RSVPs. If Rick's not available, he's our counselor.
Okay.
And so he's obviously a big part of this event. But if he's not available, anybody can just leave a message with whoever answers, you know, that they've got some kids that want to come. We just need to know a number for the pizzas and for canvases and balloons and all that sort of thing. So it's good if you do RSVP, but if you don't RSVP, if you just don't get around to it, too many things going on, come.
Okay.
Still come.
Okay. I gotcha.
Yeah.
I'll put all that in the show notes so people can have easy access to that number. So
perfect. Perfect.
Well, thanks so much for what you do. And thanks so much for spending a little time talking about it today.
Well, you're so welcome. And thank you so much for having me.
Sure.
Because we want the word to get out so we can get as many kids who need it there.
Well, hopefully this will help.
I hope so. Thanks again.
Sure. Take care now.
All right.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. Follow On the Line on Twitter at OTLTXK and on our website, texarkanagazette.com/podcast. To support the show, post a positive review wherever you get your podcasts. The show is written, produced and edited by yours truly, Carl Richter. And I'd love to hear from you. Email me at krichter@texarkanagazette.com. I'll see you next time on The Line.